My name is Bill Heaton. I'm the college and youth pastor here at Church on Mill. And it's a pleasure to be able to bring to you God's Word today. Today my message is entitled, The Next to Him Mentality of Ministry. Over the past month, I've been taking our students through the book of Nehemiah. And recently we went through chapter 3 of Nehemiah. And when you first look at chapter 3, it's kind of dry. Kind of seems like an uninspiring chapter. You know, with various names that are extremely hard to pronounce. But as you take a deeper look, you can learn there's so much more richness to this chapter, and it's a very inspiring chapter. But before we go into this, I'd like to give a little bit of history behind the book of Nehemiah, what's happening just before here. So in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and a Babylonian army had captured the Jews. Jerusalem was destroyed, the walls were torn down, the temple was burned, the gates were torn down, the people were deported, and they were forced into slavery. Jerusalem was basically, it was left in ruins. But God, you know what? He didn't forsake his people. He moved King Cyrus to make a decree and to let some of the Jews return. It took three stages over a long period of time. They were allowed to migrate back to Jerusalem. Only to discover, though, their city was demolished and desolate. It reminds me as if we were in an area that had a tornado or a hurricane, and we left the area, and we thought that everything would be cleaned up, but yet when we come back, it wasn't. And that's what they came back to, a bunch of rubble where they lived. Now, about the book of Nehemiah. This book completes the story of the Jews' return from captivity. The book recaps how God used Nehemiah and others fulfill his plan of redemption for his people. Nehemiah displays great courage as he takes a humanly impossible task of mobilizing a fearful and demoralized people and uniting them to successfully rebuild the walls. I love this book. It's a book with vision. It's a book about prayer. It's a book about leadership. It's a book about community. And it's a book about missions. All of this work had one great purpose. And that purpose was bring glory back to God. But, you know, before we get into chapter 3, I'd like to look a little bit and give a quick summary of chapters 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews, who escaped? Who had survived the exile? And concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates were destroyed by fire. The next few verses go into how Nehemiah reacts. One of the things that Scripture says is he wept, he was saddened by it. So what Nehemiah does, though, is he goes to God, and he fasts and he prays, and his heart is completely broken for what's happening to his people. And he says that to the Lord. Nehemiah takes all this to the Lord, and he also confesses his sins and the sins of the people. And he asks God if he would lead him out in rebuilding the walls, if Nehemiah could lead out in this process. But you know what, guys? He had a huge obstacle in his midst, and that was King Xerxes. You see, Nehemiah was a cupbearer. A cupbearer at that time was an officer in the king's household. It's a person that had the king's trust and favor. This person is someone of importance in the king's area. So you see, I believe God placed Nehemiah right in that position because he knew that Nehemiah would lead out. Nehemiah prayed to God, and he asked God to give him courage to ask the king if he would allow him to go and lead the effort of rebuilding. But then it's interesting because he goes to the king, and the king says to him, why such a long face? It reminds me of, you ever try to hide something from a friend? You're bothered by something, but you try to act like, everything's okay. I'm fine. But yet, if they really know you, they really care about you, they know there's something wrong. And that's what happened here. The king knew Nehemiah so well. They had such a close relationship. He asked, basically, why is your face so long? Nehemiah prays and says, God, give me the strength to do this. And then he approaches the king and says, King, this is why. My people are living in a basic rubble. the Jerusalem's destroyed, and I would like to go back and rebuild the city. The king asks how long it's going to take. He tells him. And then the king says, yes. But I love this. Nehemiah goes a little step further, and he says, well, could you give me a letter to have safe travel? And also, could I have another letter to get some lumber to help rebuild? I'm thinking, pretty gutsy here, you know? But you know what? He prayed to God, and he felt comfort in this. Not only does the king give him what he asked, the king says, I'm going to send some soldiers and give you some more support. So you see, God was in this whole plan. And he was there to help Nehemiah to go on and rebuild the city. So next part is Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem. And he doesn't tell the people exactly why he's here. Instead, he takes this midnight rendezvous throughout the city, checks it out, goes throughout the whole city checking it out. And he comes back to the people, and he says, the gates are destroyed, the town's in ruins, the temple's been burned, it's a mess. But guess what? God called me here, and this is what God has done to help me to come here to help you rebuild. And this is how God used the king to help me rebuild as well. You know what? From there, it's a no-brainer. They said, let's go for it. Let's do this. Let's rebuild. So this brings us up to chapter 3. Now, I decided that since Chuck did this a few weeks ago, I thought I would copy some of this because I want some college students to come up and read chapter 3. So I've asked Zach Inser and Camber Main if you'd come up and read these parts of the scripture. So come on up. They're going to be reading in Nehemiah chapter 3, starting at verse 1.
Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brothers the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of the hundred, as far as the tower of Hananel.
And next to him,
the men of Jericho built.
And next to them,
Zachar the son of Imri built. The sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars.
And next to them,
Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakos, repaired.
And next to them,
Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repaired.
And next to them,
Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired.
And next to them,
the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah, repaired the gate of Yeshanah. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, its bars.
And next to them,
repaired Meletiah the Gibeonite and Jadon the Maronathite, the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river.
Next to them,
Iziel the son of Harhiah, goldsmiths, repaired.
Next to him,
Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repaired, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall.
Next to them,
Rephaiah the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired.
Next to them,
Jediah the son of Harumaph repaired opposite his house.
And next to him,
Hashish the son of Hashbaniah repaired. Micaiah the son of Harim and Hashab the son of Bahathmoah repaired another section and the tower of the ovens.
Next to him,
Shalom the son of Halahesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the Dun Gate. Malkiah the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakram, repaired the Dun Gate. He rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars.
Thank you both. Great job. I told you they had a lot of hard-to-pronounce names. Thank you both. You know what? This chapter reveals an extraordinary gift of administration on Nehemiah's part. He was able to mobilize and empower 44 separate groups of people for the very task of rebuilding the walls. He made sure that he carefully first, though, assessed the situation, and then he spoke to the people about it, and then he took an action plan. You know what? If a leader asks you to do something for them, there must be a purpose behind what they're asking you to do. Many people will help, but most want to know, what is the purpose of the task? Nehemiah was able to build his team around a central rallying point. He pointed them to the purpose of the work, which was to give glory to God. They weren't just working on rebuilding the wall. They were worshiping a worthy God. The workers were bummed about the conditions of the city and disgraced in the presence of their enemies. They were so discouraged. They longed for God's city to regain its splendor and for God to get the credit. You know, the purpose of all ministries, really, life itself, is about glory to God. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, I think it puts it so well. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And then, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. Then it says, then Esalib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. You know what? It's no accident that they started at the sheep gate. It's another way of saying, put God first. You see, this gate was near the wall's northeast corner. This gate provided easy access to the temple. And it was given this name because this was the gate that they took the sheep to be sacrificed through. By beginning at this gate, Nehemiah is establishing that their relationship with God was central. This was the most important place to start. The next area I see that's significant in this chapter is that community is being built. Verses 2 through 5 show us how working together can accomplish more than just one person trying to do the work all on their own. Notice the following phrases throughout the chapter. Next to him, next to them, after him, and after them. These expressions are recorded 28 times in this chapter. The biblical principle is this. Every person needs to be involved in ministry because everyone has a job to do. We will touch on this later on in the message. But I want to point out that next to him refers far more than the location of the people. It shows that they've come together for one common purpose. The people came from all over the area. Many didn't even live in Jerusalem, and they traveled anywhere from 1 to 15 miles to help rebuild the city. The other thing of importance is the wide variety of backgrounds of those who were helping to rebuild it. Nehemiah used all kinds of people to help with this task. But you know, if it was me, I don't know if I'd use some of those people. I think I would use like a tough construction worker type. You know, one that is tough, can build those walls. And then I think I would also use someone of an engineering that would know how to put it all together. But you know what? Nehemiah used a great variety of people to accomplish the task. He used priests, he used goldsmiths, and I'm thinking about this, perfume makers, merchants, district rulers, and get this, children. Children were used. These were people who had a wide variety of backgrounds, they had various trades, and they came from various towns, all gathered to work on the wall. The rulers and the priests came together working with the regular people. Also, if you notice in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 12, it says, next to him, Shalom, the son of Helohesh, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired he and his daughters. I think it's fascinating here because you hear that Shalom and his daughters are mentioned here. That shows that they're respected and they're honored. Notice, this wasn't exclusively a men's work to rebuild the walls. Everyone had a place to serve each other. And everyone's task was important in helping to rebuild the walls. Something I think we can really learn from Nehemiah's leadership here is since each person is helping and they're from so many different backgrounds, you need organization. You need cooperation. You need coordination. And I love it because Nehemiah had them all. This is so true of the church as well. Just as it was back then, we need contrasting personalities, complementary and distinctive abilities. Because each of us possess certain gifts and certain talents. What each of us has to offer is a value to the kingdom of God. You know, as the people were building next to each other, they were also building each other up. They demonstrated how absolutely indispensable community is. You see, their section of the wall must come together for the next portion to come together. One of the key words that you see later on in this chapter is the word section. It's used 13 times in this chapter. This shows that the wall was divided and people were assigned to a certain section to work on. Likewise, just like no person could construct the whole wall by himself, so too you and I are called to a certain part of the kingdom. We must figure out what that section is we are called to serve. No one person can do everything, but everyone can do something. Romans 12:6 says it really well. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. You see, we have gifts that are important to the body, no matter what those gifts are. Then I think there's another fascinating part of this passage where some people refuse to work. Having said that, there's a place for everyone and a job for everyone. There's always those who refuse to exert themselves, and they'll have many reasons why they don't want to help. In this chapter, we see that most people worked on the wall, but some didn't. If you look in verse 5, and it says, "And next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord." You see, Teko was a town about 11 miles from Jerusalem. And some of the people commuted to the job site. The nobles decided, "Oh, we'll just call in sick." You know, actually the text says that they refused to participate in the work of God because, you know what, I believe they were too proud. They were too proud to submit themselves to manual labor. They felt like they were too important in their own minds to get their hands dirty. In Nehemiah's community, we see examples that we can learn from our own church community. Each of us must work together in order to connect each other. And that's the first part of Church on Mill, which is the first part of what Church on Mill is to do to fulfill our purpose, which is to connect. Nehemiah was leading a community that was devoted, that was committed. They were sold out for God, and they worked together for his purpose. Nehemiah led the people to restore the walls, and once again, they had safety and security in their community. The Next to Him community provides safety and security. Today, as well as in Nehemiah's day, we need to have people who will watch our backs. In other words, we need people that will help us play key roles in our spiritual growth. God's plan for spiritual growth was to use people to spur each other on. I believe God wants to use those who he's placed in your life to accomplish that purpose. The Next to Him theology, it's kind of like Proverbs 27:17. It says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens the other." But sometimes a community can be inconsistent connections with each other. Instead of feeling safe and secure in community, we wonder who we can trust. Instead of community where all are committed to our spiritual development, we're islands unto ourselves, doing what we can do to get by in life. Guys, we must revolutionize our thinking and begin to connect our lives. It's the Next to Him mentality from Nehemiah. To begin with, we have to realize that the church is a relational environment. We're more than just a group of people with a common interest and values. We're family. Our relationships are central to what God wants to achieve in you and me through his church. One of the first steps of having a Next to Him ministry is to see who God's placed next to you. These are the people right here in our church. I don't believe that you're here by accident. Connect with those in a small group. Be committed to one another. And then see what God does next. I understand something, though. You know what? It's not easy. Because Next to Him flies in the face of just our basic thoughts. And that's that we naturally gravitate towards people that are like us. I believe we need to connect with each other. I believe that because we can learn so much from others that are different from us. We must have the courage to have a Next to Him ministry mindset and allow it to become a part of our lives. Just like the people that Nehemiah led to rebuild the wall, God has called us to a coordinated cooperation. He calls us to have courage to set aside our preferences, our desires, our hurts, and our pride so that his church will succeed. He needs people that will commit time, talent, treasures to complete the task that he has. You have to admire Nehemiah here. That's a hard thing to say. Admire Nehemiah here. For you know what? He takes a disorganized, unmotivated, uninspired people and turns them into this army that rebuilds the walls within days. Another thing we can learn about Nehemiah's Next to Him ministry is that each person at Church on Mill has a place. We looked at many names in Nehemiah 3, and each had a purpose. It shows me that God is a great believer in putting our names down. It also means that God has not forgotten your names either. You may feel unimportant and obscure, but I believe God has a place for you. He has a strategic place for you along the wall. And he did this through Nehemiah's building of the wall and his leading. God has a place for you to serve, and that matches up perfectly for what he's desired you to do. Kind of reminds me of this. If we put on a pair of glasses, some of you are laughing because no one's ever seen me in glasses. And let me tell you, these are not the right ones to be wearing up here. These are glasses to be looking at the computer screen. And so looking out, you're all a little bit blurry. But anyway, the point of me putting these on is this. The community needs to be viewed through a pair of glasses with two different distinct lenses. We need to have the what do we get and the what do we give. If we close our what do we give lens, you know what? We become a consumer community. But when we close our what do we get lens, you become one who lives outside the community. You meet others' needs, but you don't allow them to meet your needs. You contribute to others' growth, but you don't allow them to contribute to your growth. It becomes a fishbowl community. You witness the beauty of community, but you never get wet. Through the book of Nehemiah, we see a community that's viewed through a pair of glasses with two very important lenses. As we build community, we build a safe place, which is making a biblical community. James 5:16 says it so well. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. This verse says it so well. Confession leads to healing. And when we share with one another, we realize the forgiveness comes from God. And we can remind each other just that. We also must realize that next to him ministry is where we begin thinking of where we can contribute to the community. It is a commitment to serve one another. Service should be a natural outpouring of our life together in community. Many times, we enter into a community hoping for our needs to be met. We hope that we'll make friends and have things to do. And we hope that we can learn more about Scripture. All those are very good and very important reasons. But sometimes what happens is just that. Our needs are met. And that's all that we do. But we need to change this kind of thinking in our lives. We need to connect to see how we can serve. We need to connect to see how we can meet the needs of others instead of seeking our own needs to be met. We should connect to see how we can be committed to a group rather than looking to what we can take away from it. The funny thing is when we start to live this way, our needs do get met because everyone is serving one another instead of serving themselves. Think about if each of us are meeting the needs of others, then our own needs are going to be met. It's kind of how the early church worked in Acts. I'm going to finish with Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold to them, they brought the proceeds that was sold. And they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. You know, I mentioned in my sermon earlier that we gravitate towards people that are like us. One of the things about believers is we all have one thing in common, and that's Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm gonna sit here up the front at the end of service, and I'd love you to come and talk to you about what it's like to have a relationship with Christ. My message today wasn't to discourage or to belittle, but it was to encourage. You see, every time I read the book of Nehemiah, I just get so encouraged. The first time I read it, the church was just starting the building program, and I was encouraged there. This time as I'm reading it, especially chapter 3, I see that we need to have a next-to-them mentality in our lives. Each of you are important and have a place in the kingdom of God. As you leave today, I'm going to have two students at the door, and they're going to be handing out areas of service here at Churchill Mill. this is a very limited area because over the next month, we're going to get other areas of service from different ministries. This one that we're going to hand out today has areas in the women's ministry, in the preschool ministry, in the children's ministry. And then on the back side, it has areas about, that you can serve and help in the youth ministry and also in the college ministry. And I'd like to talk briefly about that since I am the college pastor here at Church on Mill. Right across the street is a university that right now has the highest attendance of any university in the country. Therefore, I look at it as just like the walls, there's much work to be done to reach the students at our campus. Just like rebuilding the wall, we need a number of people to help in our ministry. Adults as well as college students are needed. And I would love for you to come alongside and help with the wall building with us. Find your section. Like those who built the wall, there's a need for many different ages and many different types of people from many different areas to help. And I want to point out one thing. There's areas that people can do from everything from prayer to teaching to publicity, and the list goes on. So there is an area for each of you that be able to serve and to help. I would ask you to do this with today's message is to think about where your next to him ministry needs to be. Pray to God. And then, like Nehemiah did, take an action plan and do something about it. But all needs to be start in prayer. And the whole point is not to build up a church or not to build up each other, but for the glory of God.